On this Cyber Monday, we're talking about the future of freight in Wisconsin here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A new report predicts big growth in coming decades. How should states respond to stepped-up demand for fast shipping? Are you a truck driver? What does your future hold? Are you concerned about automation or the Amazon effect? We're at 800-642-1234. Let's talk freight. But first, Wisconsin elk. More than a century ago, elk dotted our prairies. But today, they number only about 300. The DNR and conservation groups have worked to rebuild the elk population, spending millions of dollars over decades. But the spread of chronic wasting disease is worrisome. What if wild elk test positive? Just like deer, CWD is deadly to elk. Producer Rachel Vasquez spoke with WisConText Associate Editor Will Cushman.
We usually hear about CWD in the context of deer, but you wrote this piece on how it could affect the state's wild elk population. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't really think about CWD and elk, at least in Wisconsin, because we don't have very many elk in Wisconsin. We have like 300 some wild elk and two very small herds. But yeah, it's also a problem in elk herds out west. So we wanted to take a look at what CWD and its spread in Wisconsin could mean for our very small herds.
And to date, there have been no wild elk that have tested positive, right?
That's correct. In Wisconsin.
Uh-huh. And you talked about the fact that Wisconsin has this very small wild elk population. And part of the reason why this is so important is because there's been this huge effort to rebuild the population. Can you talk about what went into that?
Yeah, it was pretty fascinating. Over the course of decades, really, and it's cost a significant amount of money, both for the state as well as nonprofits and tribes and other individuals. So elk were wiped out in Wisconsin around the same time that they were wiped out throughout most of eastern North America. So that would be in the late 19th century. Not sure exactly when they were totally wiped out from Wisconsin. It was sometime between like the 1860s and 1880s. And then in the early 20th century, there were efforts kind of across the country to reintroduce elk in the eastern states. Most of those elk came from Yellowstone National Park. And so they were reintroduced to a bunch of places, including Wisconsin. But then that was like right before the Great Depression hit, and there weren't really a whole lot of resources, and there wasn't a whole lot of science that would, I guess, support these reintroduction efforts. So basically the elk were dropped off in Wisconsin, and people were like, good luck, let's see how it goes. And they were never heard from again. So no one knows what happened to those elk. But then later in the 20th century, so in the 80s, people there was kind of like a grassroots effort. People started to wonder again, why can't we have elk in Wisconsin? We have the habitat for it. So in 1989, the legislature directed the DNR to conduct a feasibility study to look into how feasible it would be to reintroduce elk, moose, and caribou to the state. And they decided ultimately that none of those species the state wasn't ready to reintroduce any of those. There wasn't really public support at that time or enough, they thought. But then that really started getting the conversation going. And then in the 90s, some researchers at UW-Stevens Point, in collaboration with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, transported a couple dozen elk from Michigan to the Clam Lake area. That's kind of like southwestern Ashland County near Bayfield County. And they wanted to study how elk could do in the habitat. The herd grew pretty slowly, and after a few years, the DNR took over management. And then in the 2000s, the DNR really ramped up their efforts to reintroduce elk, started working with the state of Kentucky and again with the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. And in that effort, they have brought up over 100 elk from the state of Kentucky. That's now over, but there are now 250-some elk near the Clam Lake herd in northern Wisconsin and about 75 elk in Jackson County in the Black River State Forest.
Will Cushman is the associate editor of WisConText, and we're talking to him about his latest reporting on chronic wasting disease and the risk it poses to the state's small wild elk population. Will, what do we know about how CWD affects elk?
So it affects elk in a similar way that it affects deer and all cervids. Cervids are a group of hoofed mammals that includes deer, moose, elk, reindeer, caribou. And what it does, so CWD is caused by what they're called prions. They're basically abnormal proteins that a deer or an elk will pick up in the environment. And once they're infected with it, those prions start replicating in their brains and replacing healthy brain proteins. And eventually that leads to muscle weakness and eventual death, hence why it's called chronic wasting disease. Elk are affected in a pretty similar way to deer, in the way that basically they have about 2 years or so after they're infected before they ultimately die.
And you spoke to the DNR for this piece. How worried are they about CWD and the elk population?
You know, it was interesting talking to them. So I spoke with Kevin Wallenfang. He's a deer and elk ecologist for the DNR, and he's kind of in charge of elk management in the state. They're not necessarily super worried about CWD in Wisconsin's elk, but they're definitely going to pretty, I wouldn't call them extreme, but great lengths to protect the herds. Bull elk in particular kind of range out past like where the typical herd range is. And there have been a couple bull elk, Kevin said, that have strayed from their herds in Wisconsin into areas where CWD is known to be present. I should say that CWD hasn't been found in the home ranges of either herd. But these bull elk that have strayed into CWD areas or potentially areas with CWD, the DNR is able to track them with radio collars, and they have made the decision to euthanize them immediately before returning them, before they could return to the herds, out of just like a lot of caution.
And when it comes to demand for elk hunting, we just wrapped up our second official elk hunt in the state. It sounds like there's a lot of interest in doing this.
There's so much demand. Yeah. And like way more demand than there are elk.
Right.
Yeah. I think 2018 was the first sanctioned elk hunt in the state. The DNR gave out 10 tags, 5 to tribal members and 5 to other residents in Wisconsin. And they had like over 38,000 applicants for those tags. In 2019, it was a similar number. It was a little bit lower, but it was still like tens of thousands of people were applying for just a few elk tags.
And so big picture, as we wrap up, are the people managing Wisconsin's wild elk population, are they optimistic about the chances of the population surviving CWD or dealing with it?
They are pretty optimistic about it, especially now that they are really feeling confident about where the herds are now in terms of population growth. The herd up in Clam Lake has been growing like really pretty slowly over the last couple decades. I mean, it's still only a couple hundred elk. But I guess now they have, as of this year or this coming spring, they'll have over 100 cows that will be probably giving birth. So they're expecting like quite a population boom up near Clam Lake. And the Jackson County herd is also, it's been dealing with some issues related to vehicle accidents, killing a number of elk. But I guess all of the calves that have been born in Jackson County over the last 2 years have survived so far. So that is also pointing toward kind of some optimism for both herds.
Thanks so much, Will.
Thank you.
And that was producer Rachel Vasquez with WisConText Associate Editor Will Cushman. Find more at wiscontext.org. Coming up, Wisconsin's freight industry is poised to grow big time in coming decades. A transportation research group ran the numbers. Are you a truck driver? What concerns you about the industry? What about the Amazon effect? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll break down the data. Phone lines are open on the future of freight and your packages. Back in a moment with The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. You're with us on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. FedEx will kick off the holiday season expecting to handle a record package volume on this Cyber Monday, moving more than 33 million packages on the year's biggest online shopping day. We are looking at what the future holds for moving freight across Wisconsin in the coming decades. New data gives us a glimpse into the future of our freight traffic. Have you noticed more semis on state highways? Has it affected your commute? How safe do you feel? How do you think states should respond to the increased demand for fast shipping? We're at 800-642-1234. Rocky Moretti is Director of Policy and Research at the National Transportation Research Nonprofit called TRIP. Rocky, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Kate, thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate the opportunity to jump right back into it after the Thanksgiving break.
All right. Well, you know, what a day to jump in on this Cyber Monday when so many packages are moving across our country. Let's look at the big picture, the national picture first. Why is the amount of freight shipping expected to grow in the coming decades?
It's really based on a variety of factors. One, certainly ongoing economic growth, and that's been significant and will be into the future. But we're also seeing a tremendous increase in automation of trucking itself, of warehousing, which have become even more reliant on freight movement and faster moving freight movement. And then obviously what you just referred to, this tremendous increase in online shopping. You know, we're all looking forward to getting gifts over the holiday season. But we're seeing just in the last 4 years a 70% increase in e-commerce, and that's going to go up another 40 to 50% in the next 4 or 5 years. And that it takes trucks, it takes all modes of transportation, but ultimately trucks are moving those goods. And then we're also seeing what I think you know, people are calling the Amazon effect, but it's not just Amazon. We're seeing large grocery companies, a lot of companies are building warehousing right along interstates in urban areas. It's certainly true in Wisconsin, which has added several large warehouses to help serve this consumer demand. But at the end of the day, it means you're going to see a lot more trucks out there on the road.
And when you say freight and you are crunching the numbers on this long-term data that looks decades into the future, you're taking into account all different modes of transportation. Is that right?
That's right. It includes certainly trucking, but it's rail, it's aviation, it's even waterways. But if you look at Wisconsin, where annually over $500 billion worth of goods are being shipped annually and about 450 billion tons, about three quarters of that is being shipped by trucks.
So in 2016, our state was in the top 15 states for the amount of freight shipped by truck measured by weight or value. But in the next few decades, your report said Wisconsin is likely to have among the smallest increases in freight delivered by truck. What's going on there?
Well, if you look at the increase over the next 25 years in Wisconsin, which is going to be about 80% in value and about a third by weight, you know, that's going to be based largely on ongoing growth and consumer demand. You know, certainly some states in the southern tier and in the west are having a somewhat higher level of growth, but that, you know, that's largely based on population growth and economic growth. That said, Wisconsin continues to see significant overall economic growth, and also what we've seen in the last 5 years in Wisconsin is about a 10% increase in vehicle travel, a very high rate of vehicle travel growth. And we're also seeing on the state's rural interstates about one out of every eight vehicles is a large commercial truck. So it's not just perception. There's a lot of goods movement and freight out there.
We're looking at the future of freight in Wisconsin and across the nation with Rocky Moretti. He's the research director at TRIP. That's a National Transportation Research Group. You can join in. Do you buy things from Amazon or other internet retailers? Do you only buy from local stores? How do you decide where to shop? How is automation affecting your industry? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Rocky, why is so much being shipped by truck rather than other forms of transportation?
It's being shipped. Obviously, cost is the critical factor, but it's also very much the ability of trucks to not only get places quickly, but also then can enter into urban areas. And so that tends to be why you may see lower value commodities moving by rail, but most products ultimately have to get to the marketplace, have to get into grocery stores, have to get into consumers' hands. And so that's why we see trucking as the dominant mode in freight. But that's not to say that rail and aviation and even waterways don't also play important roles.
Oh, so trucking gets you in the extra mile or the extra 2 miles closer to where you need that product.
Absolutely. I mean, just think about, you know, I'm sure a lot of people were traveling all over during Thanksgiving, and I'm sure that included also some rail trips and certainly flying. But ultimately, you've got to get into a vehicle to complete that trip. And for many people, getting into the car or van or SUV was still the best way and the most affordable way to get places. And that's what's obviously driving this tremendous need to move goods. And also what we're seeing is goods are being moved more efficiently. And because of the digital revolution, in the old days where perhaps a trucker might be coming back from a trip with an empty vehicle or half of the truck empty now, that is online, and brokers are seeing anytime there's additional capacity, and they're taking advantage of that. Very much what we've seen with personal travel, with Uber and Lyft, which have taken advantage of the digital information age, where you can identify where there's a need or demand to move goods or people and match that up with available transportation.
So here in Wisconsin, we've seen the battle between online and brick-and-mortar stores with a bunch of store closures, like your Shopko and many others, with company bankruptcies. How is this battle affecting the actual amount of trucks carrying products on our roads?
Well, you know, what happens, of course, is the consumers... The successful business model responds to the demands of consumers and businesses, and ultimately those demands are to get those goods quicker and quicker. You know, we all as consumers want that product in our hands as quickly as possible, and that puts a lot of pressure for greater efficiency, and that's why we're seeing this in the transportation mode, that to stay in business, you have to find the ability to get those goods moved and move quickly. And there's significant challenges in the trucking area. One of them is a lack of drivers. The American Trucking Association is estimating that right now we're about 63,000 short of the truck drivers that are needed for the current businesses out there. But by 2026, that's going to be 174,000. And so there's just not enough truckers or truck drivers entering the industry. And then another critical factor is a lack of adequate truck parking space. Truck drivers, are mandated to only be able to drive so many hours before they take a rest. And oftentimes with those lack of adequate truck spaces, that significant challenge. Sometimes they park in an area where they shouldn't park because they just can't find a space, or sometimes they just have to go a little bit longer. And that brings us to an issue we haven't discussed yet is truck safety. You know, we estimate that over the last 5 years, 70 people annually in Wisconsin were killed in crashes involving large trucks. Most of those were the occupants of the vehicles. And we're certainly not casting any blame on the truck drivers. In fact, most studies of truck crashes have found that generally speaking, most of those were miscalculations by the drivers of passenger vehicles. But by the laws of physics, when a passenger vehicle in a large truck or in a crash, it obviously the worst damage is going to be to the smaller vehicle. But that's another challenge. And so states are really looking at how to address this. A good example.
Yeah, I was going to say Georgia is planning miles of truck-only lanes on an interstate. Would that be a fix? Rocky, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah. What about Georgia planning, 40 miles of truck-only lanes on an interstate?
They're looking at, yes, at a portion of I-75 between Atlanta and Macon. If anyone who's driven down to that part of the country has seen this tremendous congestion and also safety challenges because there's such a large volume of trucking. There's also some similar deliberations along Interstate 81 in Virginia, where there's such a significant number of large trucks that on some of those sections of the corridors, truck lanes or additional capacity is certainly one of the discussions. And so certainly, you know, we recognize in Wisconsin there's been a significant discussion lately of looking at additional funding and additional repairs and improvements. That's certainly a possible consideration, certain corridors or at certain interchanges. We also see it in large transportation ports, whether it's literally on the coast or an area where there's a lot of intermodal facilities, adding some additional truck-only capacity.
We're looking at what the future holds for moving freight in Wisconsin and across the nation with Rocky Moretti. He's with TRIP, the National Transportation Research Nonprofit. Your thoughts on moving your packages, 800-642-1234. We'll get to your questions right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. On the Cyber Monday, it is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. We're looking at the future of freight and e-commerce as the holiday shopping rush is underway. UPS is expected to deliver 5% more items this holiday season than its record level set last year. And FedEx is also expected to move a record number of packages today. So do you buy goods from Amazon or other internet retailers? How do you decide where to shop? Have you noticed more semi-trucks on Wisconsin highways? Join in on the future of transportation in Wisconsin, 800-642-1234. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. Rocky Moretti is Policy and Research Director at the transportation research nonprofit known as TRIP, and he stays with us. Let's go to the phones now. Rick is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Rick.
Hi, good morning. My question is about the, you guys were talking about like the dedicated lanes in Georgia and so forth. Has there been a study done about the restrictions of lanes in like Illinois around the Chicago area? I myself drive, and the two right lanes are the only ones allowed for semis. It seems very restrictive and counterproductive. Has there been a study for that?
Rick, thanks for the question. Rocky, what impact does that make when only particular lanes are designated for semis?
You know, it's going to come down to capacity. I think why you're seeing some states looking at truck-only lanes is obviously you've got to continue to move that freight. If you are designating some lanes for truck only, you may find a situation where passenger vehicles are then avoiding those lanes, and that could be restricting capacity. And that's a critical issue, is traffic congestion. The U.S. Department of Transportation estimates that the number of U.S. highways that have congested lanes is going to quadruple from about 20,000 to about 78,000 through 2045. And obviously, that's bad news for consumers. It's taking them longer to get places, very critically, but it's also going to be slowing down traffic. And we know that two out of the 100 worst freight bottlenecks are in Wisconsin, both in the Milwaukee area, where this caller has called in from. And those are at major interstate interchanges. And so anything that starts to restrict capacity is just going to slow down our ability to get places, but also very critically, the ability for freight to get places.
Well, Rick, I'm wondering, are you a truck driver? Do you drive truck for a living?
Yes, I do, ma'am. I drive Monday through Friday through Milwaukee and Chicago.
Have you seen an uptick in the amount of freight you're hauling, or has it been pretty steady or declining?
I haul singular freight for one company, so we're constantly doing the same work. As far as I've seen an uptick in traffic, not so much as in Milwaukee. They're doing a phenomenal job at getting vehicles through with all open lanes. My issue is with the Chicago area, the Illinois, Indiana. They restrict lanes, which keeps truck drivers from going into lanes that are open. And many different trucking companies have different restrictions on speed, where some are 62, some are 70, some are 65. And when you only have two lanes, that's hard to manage.
Right, and stay on track to get from point A to point B. Rick, thanks so much for calling in. Rocky, this year President Trump and Congress have been debating this big infrastructure spending bill, and they agreed in the spring to spend $2 trillion, but they haven't figured out how to pay for it. How likely do you think it is that infrastructure bill will be passed before next year's 2020 election?
Well, it's going to be absolutely vital that Congress acts this year. The FAST Act, which is the surface transportation bill, it's a significant portion of the funding for highway and bridge repairs in Wisconsin, expires on September 30th, 2020. Now, we've seen an initial bill approved by the Senate Environmental and Public Works Committee. It includes a five-year federal surface transportation project with a 28% increase in overall investment. So that's a tremendous step forward. But now the Senate Finance Committee would have to put in place the funding to support that. The current federal program is the most critical source of funding are user fees, largely the federal diesel and gasoline motor fuel taxes. But it's hasn't been adequate to maintain the highway trust fund. So we've seen approximately $70 billion of general funds over the last 4 or 5 years put into the program to prop it up. The real need is for Congress to come up with sustainable long-term funding so that the trust fund could allow that boost in federal funding, which is vital and critically needed. But that is, like I said, it still is going to have to go to the Senate Finance Committee. If they could agree to that, then it would go to the House Transportation Infrastructure Committee and ultimately the House itself. So clearly Congress is going to need to act or that federal money would stop on September 30th.
Well, we've been having conversations here and getting kind of some mixed signals about the trucking workforce. Some trade groups say there's a huge shortage of drivers, but hundreds of trucking companies went out of business this year. What is your take on the trucking workforce and where it stands as we head into the future?
Well, we're certainly seeing consolidation to some extent as we see large players enter the market in terms of providing their own logistics. Amazon is certainly one of them. But if you look in Wisconsin, where Amazon, Kroger, and also Dollar General have either recently built large distribution centers or in the process of building them, we're seeing this significant increase in these large fleets by these companies that have found a benefit for them to operate their own infrastructure logistics businesses. At the same time, you look at the latest report from the American Transportation Research Institute, which says that the congestions out there, and the caller, Rick from Milwaukee, mentioned that, that congestion is resulting in 1.2 billion hours of truckers stuck in traffic. And I think that's what you're seeing across the country. So you've got this disconnect of a tremendous increase in demand for freight movement, a challenge in finding enough drivers to do it, and a recognition that we're going to see a significant increase in traffic congestion. And then you're waiting, certainly at the federal level, for a long-term transportation program. And also in Wisconsin, clearly there are also deliberations over long-term transportation funding as well.
We're looking at the data, getting a long-term forecast on the future volume of freight in our nation and here in Wisconsin. Rocky Moretti is Director of Policy and Research at a national transportation research nonprofit called TRIP. You can join in with your thoughts on freight. How do you think states should respond to the increasing demand for fast shipping? Are you someone who orders products from online stores? How quickly do you expect to receive your packages? Join in 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Rocky, let's talk about drones here for a moment. And we shouldn't be laughing about this because states are building infrastructure around the future of how we ship things. But how close are we receiving packages from drones?
Well, I that's also getting into the broader discussion of how does the advances in technology and autonomy likely to impact transportation. Certainly, as you've mentioned, some companies now are looking at the possibility of drones for some likely residential deliveries. And we may start to see that. It seems like there's a variety of regulatory issues and challenges in terms of how they're going to navigate urban areas and deal with power lines and all those other issues. But so I think that potentially could be part of it. We're also looking at autonomous trucks are certainly getting a lot of attention. I think the more realistic take on that, and there's been a lot of analysis, and we referenced it in our report, one of the reports that I think really laid out probably the likely incremental steps in that area. In terms of trucking, much like what we're seeing with passenger vehicles with vehicle autonomy, obviously we're finding significant challenges. And even if autonomous vehicles are significantly safer than human-operated vehicles, I think the reality is they not only have to be far safer, they essentially have to be almost perfect in safety, I think, until that's going to be accepted. So in trucking, I think the initial take is that we may see truck platooning ultimately as the initial step moving towards some sort of a vehicle autonomy where perhaps in some restricted category areas, perhaps from 2 points on a rural interstate that are well equipped to support vehicle autonomy, you might initially see some a truck driven by a truck driver with another truck right behind it that's autonomous that is essentially just trailing it almost like a drone. And then once they approach an urban area, that vehicle, then an actual driver would be put into it to navigate the urban terrain, which is far more complex.
Are automated trucks making an impact on the future of people getting into the trucking industry? Are they concerned about their jobs being there?
Well, currently the challenge is finding enough truck drivers to bring into it. And there's a hope that, one of the challenges in attracting truck drivers to that industry is that the demands of many people increasingly are to, come home at night and not to be out there on the road for 3 or 4 days. And so, the hope within the trucking industry is that somewhere down the road, we may still need a significant number of truck drivers, but increasingly they will be operating in more specific geographic zones. And so the quality of the work in terms of meeting really the demand of many people to mostly stay within their own community would fit with that model.
Rocky Moretti is our guide as we talk about freight traffic and what the future holds for moving things cross-country. Rocky is with the National Transportation Research Group called TRIP. Would you support spending tax dollars to ease traffic congestion on our state highways? How do you think Wisconsin should be responding to places with high traffic? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Rocky Moretti right here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about moving freight across the country and the trend lines for Wisconsin in coming decades. On the Cyber Monday, it is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Rocky Moretti, who stays with us. He's Policy and Research Director at TRIP. That's the nonprofit transportation research group based in D.C. And his forecast, it extends out to 2045. So let's go back to the phones now. Mike is joining us from Shawano. Hi, Mike.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind about trucking?
Well, I'm a freight broker, so it's on my mind every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about some of the trucking companies going out of business, and I wanted to throw some light on that. I think definitely freight has been down at times this year, and some of the trucking companies have had to run for cost or maybe less just to get their trucks like back home mostly. Usually going out from like Wisconsin is real good, but coming back, it's very difficult. And, you know, I just wonder what the trend is for next year.
When you say it's when you say it's very difficult on the return, what do you mean by that?
Okay, typically a load will pay like say $2.50 a mile out of Wisconsin to go to Florida or Texas, and then the load coming back, you're lucky if you get maybe $1.50 or so. But lately, it's been driven down to like 90 cents a mile at times.
Why do you think that is?
There's not enough freight. Even though the economy is strong, there is some weakness showing. And at times when there's no manufacturing or people don't need the stuff warehoused right away because they're concerned about the future, you know, and then there's less loads.
Yeah.
And then there's too many trucks around, and so then people are scrambling, and the shippers, they know it, and they'll play the market. It's a bid war mostly.
It's a bid war. Rocky, I want you to jump in here. What are you seeing, and what do you make of what Mike says here about as a freight broker?
Well, I think Mike's comments are very helpful. I think what points out two things. One, how tight the margins are in the trucking industry and how very competitive it is, and how critically important it relies on the health of the economy. And, you know, in terms of the, you know, those tight profit margins, when over a billion hours annually are truckers stuck in traffic, that increases costs for truck companies and can make the difference between being able to make a profit or not. And also in Wisconsin, where over half of large urban roads are now in poor condition. You know, Tripp always points out that to the consumer, that means about another $730 annually repairing your vehicles in Wisconsin. It's even larger for truck drivers because obviously those large rigs are very expensive pieces of equipment. So when you're not making the adequate investment, which is the case in Wisconsin in the system, you're going to have rough roads that are beating up trucks. You're going to have traffic congestion, which is slowing them down. And so it really all works together. And I think that's why you've seen this fall the state put a little bit more money into the program, but you still see Governor Evers pushing for a long-term fix in terms of transportation funding in Wisconsin.
Do you see tight margins going into the future here, as Mike would hopefully like a forecast here from you?
I think that the trucking industry is always going to have to be right on the cutting edge in terms of competitiveness. And I think, you know, Mike pointed out just how challenging that is. So a strong economy, which is very reliant on good infrastructure, is absolutely vital to support not just the trucking industry, which really reflects the health of the overall economy.
Mike, thanks for calling in. Let's go to Dave now in Milwaukee. Hi, Dave.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
I just want to say, Rocky Moretti, I love your name. I just think it's such a great name. I was sitting here just imagining you as some kind of Italian guy.
And I appreciate it. It's a good name to be talking about trucking. Seems.
Dave, what's the question?
Okay. So I live in Bayview, and I don't know if it's a drone or what, but this little I was in my boudoir, and this thing kept peeping its little robot head up over the window, and I kept smacking it. I had rolled up. I was reading an issue of O, and I kept smacking at this little thing, and I think it was a drone, and I'm tired of these. I have an expectation of privacy when I have a lot of kimonos. And I had tried on maybe three or four that morning, and I have a feeling that little thing was trying to get a sneak a peek.
All right. Well, Dave, I'm going to pause right here. Are there privacy issues with drones, Rocky? I mean, have we figured that out in terms of even package delivery?
Well, and I think that comment points out how difficult it is to really truly understand how emerging technologies are going to be accepted. You look at vehicle autonomy. I know that you know the cars that are coming off the line now are starting to include features that make them safer. in terms of lane departure, in terms of tailgating. There's a variety of features being put into the car, but how the consumers respond to that long term, will the public be comfortable with increasing levels of vehicle autonomy? Will they accept drones showing up at their front door at 8 a.m. to drop off something? All of these are still to be determined down the road, but that's why it's absolutely vital when you look at transportation, you look at infrastructure, to be making the investments that are necessary so that as we see how all of these technologies play out, we have the infrastructure in place to support that growth and to support the economy, and then very, very vitally, to keep people safe.
So if states spend billions of dollars expanding their highways and creating this climate suited for international commerce, do they risk undercutting, you know, their local mom-and-pop businesses close to home? Should we encourage people to buy goods closer to their homes, or does it matter?
Well, I think that gets into the broader discussion of e-commerce and how that's going to fit. But I also think you're finding that the public also wants that interaction. They want the ability to look at products, to deal with staff and to get out. So I think that gets into those broader issues of that balance between automation and convenience and online shopping. I think ultimately the public is going to want to have really both. They're going to want to have that experience as a consumer in addition to being online. And I think from a transportation perspective, we see going into the future, you know, travel demand has increased far higher than it was predicted over the last 5 or 6 years. And as we went through a trough economically at the beginning of this decade, there was a sense that travel was going to flatline into the future. And as often happens, the public told us quite differently over the last 5 years. So I think you predict future personal behavior at your peril.
So as you look into the future in the coming decades, what could prevent the freight industry from keeping up with the level of demand? What could hold us back?
Well, I think they see several challenges. One, if traffic congestion continues to get worse and it's not really addressed, that's going to make it less efficient. Clearly, they want to see automation in a way that allows them to maintain a strong truck driving force. But they certainly need the infrastructure in place. And then the other one is clearly safety. We've seen an increase overall in truck-related fatalities. The ability, and at the rural level where, for example, in Wisconsin, the traffic fatality rates double that on all other roads in the state, we really need to continue to modernize our infrastructure, and that's going to be very critical. And again, not just roads and highways and bridges, but certainly the entire transportation system to allow us to continue to have the lifestyles. We also point out in the report that if you look at the most freight-dependent economic sectors in Wisconsin, which includes retail, manufacturing, agriculture, energy, and mining, that's about 40% of the state's jobs. So,
and we have to end it right there, Rocky. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it.
Rocky,
thank you so much, Kate.
Yeah, Rocky Moretti is Director of Policy and Research at Trip. You can find a link to his latest forecast over on the Morning Show page at WPR.org. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.